We are joined now by friend of show from CBS Sportsline. He covers the NFL and does a great job. It's our buddy Alan Bell. Hi, Alan. How are you?
My man, I'm doing all right. You doing good?
I'm doing good. It's great to hear your voice. Great to have you on the show. All right, so the NFL has decided, okay, you can play and sweat on each other for 3 hours, but after the game, you can't exchange jerseys or give bro hugs. And as you might expect, you know, Richard Sherman crapped all over it and sent a bunch of tweets out. I get what the NFL is trying to do, but man, that doesn't make a lot of sense because you're going to spend 3 hours rolling around in the grass, sweating, and there's all kinds of bacteria. You know, we've all played football. We know how musty and funky our uniforms get, but no jersey exchanges, no bro hugs, but you can go ahead and beat the crap out of each other for 3 hours prior to that.
I know, right? I mean, it seems so silly, right? I mean, you know, Jeffrey Simmons can go out and sack the quarterback 9 times, get all over him. But the minute, you know, right after the game, he can't exchange jerseys. It is what it is. I get why the NFL is doing it. They're looking for any opportunity that they can to make it safer. So I don't blame them for it. It's one of those that it looks dumb, you know, but I get it. My favorite response, I can't remember which cornerback it was in the NFL, but he said yesterday he was like 6 feet apart. He's like, I can't even play press coverage. That's not even 6 feet apart. Like, what do you want me to do? It's dumb. But I get it. You know, I understand. The NFL is really just, you know, they're looking for every opportunity they can to make it a little bit safer. But again, it's football. You're going to have contact.
Alan, I'm worried. I'm not going to lie. I'm worried about there being a season all of a sudden because, you know, we've talked about it, right? You know, the NFL has had the luxury of time ever since the COVID-19 pandemic really got going in March. You know, they stuck their chest out and said, we'll be fine. Football will be here, ready to go in late summer, you know, early fall. We'll be ready to go. Now, all of a sudden, you're starting to see contingency plans and, you know, maybe no preseason and, you know, certain protocols being in place. I'm worried, man. Talk me down from the ledge, Alan. Are we going to have NFL football this year?
We are. All right. So, you know, first off, let me say this. Barring any type of catastrophe, we're going to have NFL football. Now, I can't promise any other sport. I can't promise college football. I can't promise Major League Baseball. But what I'll say about the NFL is this, is that there's too much money, and these owners and Roger Goodell, you know, obviously working for them, they want that money, and they want a season to go. I mean, it's almost like the NFL is a lot like Vince McMahon of the WWE. Like, you're going to have to step in and stop him
right,
and stop them from having a season. So I don't know who has the power to do that. I'm not even sure if the United States government has the power over the NFL to stop it. So I think that we're going to have a season. It could look different than anything that we've ever seen before for this year with, you know, no fans or, you know, no preseason or whatever. But they're going to have a season because somebody legitimately is going to have to step in and stop them, and I don't know if anyone can.
Alan Bell is our guest. You can follow him on Twitter at AlanBell247 from CBS Sportsline, talking NFL here. And one of our loyal callers came on right before you came on, Sal, our paisan up there in Jersey. Big Titans fan. He's concerned about the Titans as we spin it locally here. He's concerned about the Titans backup quarterback situation, as am I. Nothing personal against Logan Woodside. I'm sure he's a fine young man. But if something happens to Tannehill and this guy's got to go in there and win a couple of games on it, you know, you look at the schedule, right? 5 of the last 7 games are on the road. So you're going to need to have as many all hands on deck as you can have that last part of the season. If something happens to Tannehill and, you know, the odds are he's not going to start and finish all 16 games, right? I keep hearing Vrabel say he feels good about Logan Woodside, but I don't know how I feel about Logan Woodside if he has to play in an important game for the Titans. What say you?
I know. I don't know how Logan Woodside feels about Logan Woodside. You know what I mean? I'm with you. It's absolutely a cause for concern. You know, again, if Ryan Tannehill plays, you know, all throughout the season, then no problem. You risk the, you know, the bet, and you won. But if Tannehill goes down or, you know, gets sick or whatever, this team could be in a lot of trouble because, you know, the offense is built obviously around Derrick Henry, but, you know, we've seen, I mean, we even saw, you know, the entire reason why Marcus Mariota, you know, was removed as the starter is because there was no pass game. So teams could just load up on Derrick Henry because there was no threat of a passing game. So, you know, we'll see. Actually, you know, for all Titans fans, hopefully they don't see. But I'm with you. You know, that is a position, you know, that does need to be addressed. And the hard part is this, is that there's no one out there. I mean, you know, besides the Colin Kaepernick, right? Like, I mean, he's legitimately the only option that makes any sense. So I don't know if they try to pull something in training camp, maybe, you know, a trade or something. I don't know. But I'm with you. That is absolutely a cause for concern.
Talking with Alan Bell, talking NFL here. And let's segue into Derrick Henry. The Titans now have less than a week to get a long-term deal done with him, or he plays under the franchise tag, which ain't bad, but what, $10.2 million fully guaranteed. That's not bad for a year's worth of work. It doesn't seem to be a lot of panic on either side. Obviously, Henry signed the franchise tender pretty quickly. A lot of guys, we know what Le'Veon Bell did a couple years ago. He said, I'm not signing it and I'm not playing. And now we're hearing Chris Jones might do the same thing in Kansas City with the Chiefs. I believe it's with the Chiefs. But, you know, you hear John Robinson talk and he says, listen, you know, we're working it out. We're trying to come to a common ground. And, you know, Derrick Henry has not said a word either in an interview or on social media like, yeah, this is crap. I want my money. It seems like everybody's on the same page and it feels like eventually a deal's going to get done. And if Derrick has to play for 1 year under the franchise tag, no one seems to be concerned in Titans land. So I guess the fans shouldn't be either, right?
Yeah, I agree with that. You know, first off, like you just said, you know, there hasn't been any cause for concern on either side. You know, not that Derrick Henry is, you know, a loud guy to begin with. He really doesn't say a whole lot. Really,
oh,
ever.
I know. I got to try and I got to try and get sound bites out of him every week.
that's your hardest job right there out of all the many jobs that you have.
Right.
No, you know, it doesn't seem like there's any cause for concern. I think that they get a deal done. Because, you know, look, I mean, this team is built around him. You know, there's no question about it. Yes, they've added talent, you know, at the wide receiver position. Obviously, Ryan Tannehill, you know, came in last year. Now, you know, he's the starting quarterback moving forward. But this team is built around him, and not only on the field, but in the locker room. You remember, you know, a year ago, 2 years ago, you know, the entire conversation of, you know, who's going to be the leader of this team? Is Taylor Lewan? Is, you know, whoever?
Right.
Derrick Henry's the leader of this team. On the field, in the locker room, like, it's him. He sets the tone with everything. So it would not make any sense, you know, to build your team around that and not, you know, invest in him and say, all right, he's our guy. He's going to be here. Because, you know, you just got to do it. And I don't know what, you know, what it would look like if you anger the guy. Not that, you know, he would be, but there's just too much riding on it. This team is too good. You know, Vrabel and John Robinson both know that windows can be short in the NFL, and the Titans absolutely have a window here in the next 1 to 3 years. You have to get this thing done.
Alan Bell is our guest. You know, you talk about potential leaders for the Titans. Obviously, you know, you lose Logan Ryan, you lose Jarrell Casey, you lose Cam Wake. You know, a lot of leadership has left this locker room, but two guys, man, that I've become big fans of, one on each side of the ball, Rashawn Evans on defense and Jonnu Smith on offense. I think Jonnu Smith is a guy is finally starting to realize this guy could be a dominant player in this league. He learned under one of the best in Delanie Walker. He knows he's the guy now. And, man, I've been so impressed with Rashawn Evans both on and off the field. This guy's a young guy, but, you know, he carries himself like a 12-year veteran. I think both those guys are primed for leadership roles in 2020. What say you?
Yeah, I completely agree with that as well. And, you know, let's be honest. You know, the NFL, to be a leader, you've got to be on the field making plays. You know, it's very difficult to be somebody who's not really doing much, you know, and you're trying to be the voice of reason in the locker room. People just aren't going to listen to you. And you've got two guys that are absolutely primed to do it. Rashawn Evans obviously has already been doing it. And Jonnu Smith has just started to do it. So, yeah, I think Jonnu's going to have a big, big marquee season because defenses are going to focus on Derrick Henry, on A.J. Brown constantly, which is going to leave him opportunities to make plays. And then, like you said, Rashawn Evans on the other side of the ball, he's already been doing it. And, you know, he is emerging as, you know, one of the best and most, you know, consistent players in the NFL. I'm with you. I mean, and that's the good thing about it is that not only does this team have leadership in those two guys, in Derrick Henry, and even Ryan Tannehill. But, you know, the first three, Jonnu, Rashawn, and Derrick, they're all young.
Right.
Like, that's the best part, is that you've got years of this. So, yeah, the Titans are in an excellent shape in terms of leadership.
Well, I think I'm required by law to ask you about Jadeveon Clowney, so I'll fulfill my obligations and ask you. Obviously, John Robinson, a little bit more forthcoming this week when he talked to Paul Kuharsky, you know, about the possibility of bringing in Jadeveon Clowney. And, you know, J-Rob basically says, yeah, we're interested. We'd like to have him, but, you know, I want to get a look at him, make sure he's healthy before, you know, we pull the trigger, you know. And I know we've gone round and round on this before, Alan, when we've had you on the show, but, you know, he turned down, allegedly, big money from Cleveland. You know, doesn't seem interested in going back to Seattle and playing with the Seahawks. It just seems like it's destined for him to be here in Tennessee. Bottom line, I won't hold you to this, but does this deal get done? Does Clowney come to Tennessee?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, us at Sportsline, we ran the odds. We have Tennessee as the favorite now. You know, the reason why Jadeveon Clowney is kind of been taking his time is to get more teams interested, mm-hmm. in hopes that his leverage and his price will go up. And we saw that earlier this week, you know, with the reports of the Las Vegas Raiders and John Gruden, you know, made an offer to him. But again, here's the thing. The Browns, obviously, they're out now that they restructured Olivier Vernon, because
right.
that money's going to go to Myles Garrett.
Right.
But Jadeveon Clowney knows that if he wants a big deal next year, he's going to not only have to play well this year, but he's going to have to do it on a team that's pretty good, because if he just gets double teamed, you know, on a bad defense, then it's not going to work out for him either. So his options really are going to be Tennessee, Las Vegas, and coming back to Seattle. And I don't know if Seattle has the money, you know, anywhere in the ballpark to do it for him. So if you break it down and just say Las Vegas or Tennessee, Tennessee makes way more sense than Las Vegas. So I still think that they get something done. They're going to have to get creative, you know, with the money. But you know what? They could do it. I mean, it's the NFL. Sometimes it's called monopoly money for a reason. Like, they can get creative with bonuses and, you know, all kinds of things like that.
It's not our money. It's Amy's money, right? Speaking of money, Patrick Mahomes. Now, look, Alan, I've always said that you are worth whatever someone is willing to pay you. You are worth whatever you have the leverage to negotiate. And as huge as this deal is, I know Mina Kimes' head literally exploded when she found out, you know, $503 million potentially for Patty Mahomes. But you look where this guy is, you know, 3 years in, already league MVP, already Super Bowl winner, Super Bowl MVP. You figure he's only going to get better. He seems like a great kid off the field. He's the face of the NFL. Why wouldn't the Kansas City Chiefs just lock this guy up and say, you're our forever guy for the foreseeable future?
Oh, it was a brilliant move. Like, that's how crazy this deal is. The Chiefs give up $503 million, which, to put in perspective, if he gets every dollar of that, that's more than Peyton Manning and Eli Manning made in their careers combined. That's how much money this is. Now, think about this. How much money that is, and it's a team-friendly deal. Like,
right.
That's the craziest part about it, is that they lock him up for a 10-year extension, 12 years total. I mean, he's a Chief for life. You can have him as long as you want. You know, so you're not going to have to go back to free agency, you know, two or three times, you know, throughout his career. So it was a brilliant move for them. Like you said, he is the face of the NFL. He's the best player in the NFL. And look at the AFC West. Like, you have two teams that are trying to go against him in terms of building their rosters, and they're doing it in two different ways. The Broncos are building with Drew Locke and Jerry Jeudy. Like, they're going all offense to keep up with those points.
Right.
And then you've got the Las Vegas Raiders, who are looking at Jadeveon Clowney saying, we've got to build our defense, you know, to stop him. Like, that's the thing. No one knows what to do with the Chiefs, because they can just hit you, you know, from all sides. But it is a brilliant move for them, great move for him, and you're right. I mean, he's one of the rare guys where, you know, even rival teams – you know, they don't hate Patrick Mahomes. You hate playing him. But
right.
You don't hate the guy. He's just such a good guy. So, I mean, it works for both sides.
What's Dak Prescott got to be thinking now after he sees what Patty Mahomes got?
I know, right? Now, the interesting thing is that Dak Prescott, you know, this entire contract thing has been about that fifth year where Dak doesn't want it. Dak wants, you know, he actually wants less years so that he can get to free agency again,
right.
and you know, cash in as well. But that's really where it is that, you know, Dak's saying, okay, my price just went up. But again, if you want me to sign that fifth year, you're going to have to pay money for it big time. So if he's looking at, you know, 38, $39 million a year. That fifth year is going to cost, you know, Dallas about $48 million. So that's really where the holdup has been. But it's interesting that he's actually trying to go fewer in years, where Mahomes just went 12 years.
Talking with Alan Bell. We'll get you out of here on this, Alan. I want to spin it back to the Titans again real quick. A.J. Brown, where are you at with him? Is this guy already a top 10 receiver, or do you still need to see another year or two out of him?
Well, I think the answer is both. Yeah, I mean, you know, his potential is through the roof, and you know, he could be as good as he wants to be because he's so sound, you know, technically in everything that he does. But also, it's only been 1 year, and the NFL has shown, you know, not that he's going to regress by any means, but you know, when you have a team like the Titans who are so deep offensively in so many different positions, you know, it's kind of like Kansas City, where you're never going to see. You know, the Chiefs have one player that leads the NFL in one statistical category because they've got so many weapons all over the field, and that's exactly what you want. So while A.J. Brown, you know, it could be a year this year where he doesn't put up the numbers that he did last year, but he's doing his job because he's bringing one or two defenders over to him, and then a Jonnu Smith explodes. Right, so I don't want people to think like, oh, the stats, you know, might look down. No, A.J. Brown is doing his job. This guy could be as good as he wants to be in the NFL.
Alan, you're the best, man. Get your plugs in.
Yeah, sportsline.com, man. We're breaking down everything from the NFL, college football season, MLB, the NBA restart. We've got everything that you need. Sportsline.com. Check it out. Think you'll enjoy it.
Have a great weekend, my friend. Thanks for being on.
Hey, you too, buddy. Thanks for having me.
All right, there he goes, the great Alan Bell talking NFL. Check him out at Alan Bell.